Yeah, that's exactly how I feel about it. Amazing grace. You know, you can grow up, and I speak oftentimes, in fact, most of the time, I speak from the perspective of someone who grew up in church, because that's who I am, and I'm very grateful for that. Praise God for it. But it doesn't matter if you grow up in church or out of church, you still have to take your own journey to God. The church does not replace the personal journey to God and Jesus Christ. You can grow up and have everything put in your head, but you still have to come to a place eventually where you go, what do I truly believe and what does this mean to me? And it doesn't matter how churched you are and how schooled you are. It doesn't matter the catechism that you go through. At the end of the day, the relationship with Jesus Christ is personal. And somewhere, someplace, somehow, the light of heaven's going to step into your road while you're headed to Damascus and shine like a bright light. We started that last week with the conversion of a man named Saul. We're going to continue it this morning in the message, but I'm so glad you're here. Acts chapter 9, New Testament, conversion of a man named Saul. We know him more so as Paul. He's introduced to us chronologically in Scripture as Saul. Saul's a Hebrew name. Saul's the name identified with what I would call the house of religion. In fact, if I use, and I use this term probably more so on Sunday night in our studies, but I'll use it here this morning from the book of Hebrews, this house of religion that Paul was raised in and associated with was the house of Moses. The house of Moses and what's referred to as Moses' law, the law that God gave to Moses. And this house of form, this house of religion, this house that gave a multitude of exterior elements to govern what the Bible calls our flesh, not just the physical, touchable flesh, but just that natural man, that carnal nature, the law, the house of Moses, the exterior governing element of the flesh. The problem with the house of religion, it always comes up short as far as transforming the heart. And that's why I said a little bit earlier, you know, I speak as a kid who grew up in the church. Okay? The exterior elements of church will never change the heart. It takes a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. A personal belief, not just a knowledge of. Church can give the knowledge of. I can give you the knowledge of, but the knowledge of is different than the acknowledgement, which is belief. I acknowledge this is true. I embrace this is true. This whole thing of this one called Jesus, I embrace it is true. This is the personal journey. This is the personal relationship. This is what goes deeper than the exterior elements in the house of religion can go. And what we call the Christian church can still be a house of religion giving exterior elements, but it doesn't transform until it gets down into the heart. And this takes a work of God and a moving of the Holy Spirit and the shining of a light that goes beyond just what I can stand behind the pulpit and teach you. It truly has to be, as we've looked at the book of Galatians on Sunday night, truly has to be a revelation, a revealing from God. As long as it's in the exterior, as long as it remains on the outside, it's the house of religion. The name Saul, it's a name that was, it was Hebrew. It was the name of an Israelite. It was the name of somebody associated with the house of Moses, a house of religion, a house that's a beautiful house, and all of the elements of Moses' law and its moral fabric is true and it's beautiful and all of that, but it can't reach into the flesh of the heart. That's why the Bible says through Jesus Christ, he writes upon the fleshy tables of the heart. The inner man. Oh, may God's Spirit breathe life into your heart. Not just knowledge in the head, not just religion on the outside, not just a form. We're not here to do church. We're not here to just dress up and say we did church this morning. We're here to breathe in something that is truly life-giving. Saul, a name associated with a man in the house of religion. It was Hebrew. It was Jewish. It was house of Moses. But when Saul starts writing his letters to the churches, which make up so much of our New Testament scriptures, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, the two letters to the church at Corinth, it just goes, he's writing these letters. He never refers to himself as Saul. He uses the name Paul. Okay. Paul was a non-Jewish version of the name Saul. Paul was a Roman version of the name Saul. Paul was a Gentile version of the name Saul. It was as if he was saying, I'm more comfortable outside the context of the form of religion that I once was associated with. I'm sort of more comfortable in the midst of humanity, looking eyeball to eyeball with everybody else. I'm just Paul, a man saved by grace, an ambassador of the gospel of grace, working according to the moving of God's grace. Yeah, is God's grace moving in your heart? Now, before his encounter with Jesus Christ, Paul was just one of the most zealous men in the house of Moses. The house of religion can create great zeal. We become so zealous about the particulars of form and function. The Church of Jesus Christ is a beautiful thing, but do not mistake the Church of Jesus Christ as a living organism with an institution or a local organization. Victory and Grace has an organizational aspect to it. We had to organize as a church. We actually had to send paperwork to the state of Iowa so that they would recognize us as a legal entity and an organization actually referred to as an incorporated entity so that we could even go over and open up a bank account in the name of the church, because if you're not recognized with the state, you have nothing to give the bank, and they won't recognize the name. We have organizational properties to what we're doing here, but there's no life in the organizational, institutional aspects of Victory and Grace. There is no life in it whatsoever. We are living organisms because of what Jesus Christ is doing on the inside. We may even encounter, if we wanted to, a discussion this morning on the distinctions that make Victory and Grace distinct from other churches. We can go down that path, and some of these things, actually, we could open up the Bible, and I could give you what probably is just my opinion on some different issues, and these things could make us distinct from other organizations out there that have the church label on their front door, too. And the simple fact is, those things that make us distinct and distinguish us are not the properties that make us a living organism. Jesus Christ is. And people who may have different distinctives than me can be totally alive in Jesus Christ. Can we breathe in Jesus this morning? Can we breathe in the breath of life through the Holy Spirit and the truths that reveal to us the glory and the image of our risen Savior? I'm not here to give you the image of my distinctive and traditional elements that might define me. I'm here to give you the image of Jesus Christ because he is the only one who can truly breathe spiritual life into you. I could possibly put several doctrinal issues on the pulpit at this church and make you a zealot for those issues. And that zeal is a counterfeit for real spiritual life. I know people who have certain issues they are so zealous over. And I just step back and I go, is that really life in Jesus Christ? Or is that zeal in the house of religion? Well, rather than me trying to discern that, let me just say, as far as I'm concerned, I know what it's like to be incredibly zealous over religious particulars. I also know what it's like when that zeal, and it always will, that zeal eventually runs out of gas. And you are stranded in a car along the roadside, and it's not going to start, and you wonder, what am I going to do? Oh, this is where we're ready to breathe in. Okay, now look what Saul is doing. Chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul yet breathing out. Stop right there. Let me read it again. And Saul, yet breathing out. You say, what was he doing? He was exhaling. Do you know a dead body can exhale? Like it dies and then... Paul was spiritually dead, breathing out. Okay, to make the point, and I think I'll return here at the end of the message too, but just here at the beginning, just to make the point, over in verse 17, and we're skipping over the whole encounter with Jesus Christ here, but just to make the point at the beginning, and then to make the point again at the close of the message tonight, or this morning here, at the close, verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him. That Saul said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled. Okay, to be filled, that's different than exhaling and breathing out. That's something that's going to be breathed in. And be filled with the Holy Ghost. I said last week, and I've said it before, the Greek word for ghost is, or spirit, as it's oftentimes translated, is pneumos. We get our English word pneumatic. Pneumatic is something powered by air. A pneumatic gun is powered when it's filled with pressurized air, and then poof, shoots a nail. God said, I want to fill this man with divine oxygen. I want to breathe into this man life. You say, what's he doing as a spiritually dead man in the house of religion? He's breathing out, but he's not breathing in. You can't breathe real life in the house of religion. I don't have a form of Christianity. I function in a form, I know that, but that form is not my life, and I can't hand you my form and say, this will give you life. If you want to breathe, you've got to inhale through the Holy Spirit, living truth, spiritual truth that you can't get from the house of religion, the form of religion, and the exterior elements and distinctives of the house of religion. I'm not here to run an institution. I'm not here to run an organization. Some of those elements I've had to deal with. When we started this church, I had, first of all, I didn't even know what articles of incorporation were. I had to get online and learn what it was and then get online and learn how to write them and craft them and send them to the state. And they sent them back to me and said, these aren't right. And I had to recraft them and send them back in to get this church registered with the state. But I'm not here because of that. I'm not here to promote the organizational, institutional church. I'm here to promote the real church in Jesus Christ, which lives and breathes in Him. The state of Iowa can't give us that breath. The government with our tax-exempt number can't give us that breath. And even the things that we may look at that distinguish us from other institutional, organizational churches cannot give us our life. Our life must come when we breathe through the Spirit, the breath of God. We breathe in. What was Paul doing? He was breathing out. And what was he breathing out? Permission to go back to the text. Chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter. Say, what do you get on the exhale? Carbon dioxide, that's what you get. Maybe it's carbon monoxide. I don't know. What happens when we exhale? It's not, you don't want to breathe. Yeah, you don't want that. The house of religion can create an amazing zeal. But when it exhales, you don't get the fruit of the Spirit. Hello? The house of religion can create incredible zeal that sends people off like Saul into the world to promote what he believed and silence those who were against him. But the only thing you get from the house of religion is an exhale, and the exhale is not oxygen, it's carbon dioxide. I know people incredibly zealous in the house of religion, but they're not manifesting the fruits of the Spirit. Could I step into a delicate Can I step into delicate territory this morning? Like, really? I'd rather somebody hand me a water bottle filled with nitroglycerin. I would rather carry it around and toss it in the air like a baseball. I would be more comfortable than stepping into this turf this morning. And if you've attended this church, you know this is not turf I typically step into. Nah, I don't want to go there. We'll go somewhere to skip it. So, okay, I'll give it a shot. Okay, there's news channels. There's political pundits. And there's political radio. Most of it's exhaling. You do realize that. Okay, I'm still standing. You say, no, I listen to, and then I'm not even filling in blanks this morning. regardless of what name or station we put in that blank, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, most of it is exhale, and you're not getting the inhale. Exhale sounds like wrath, anger, and even sedition. If you want to go to the Bible for the list of the sins of the flesh, sedition is on the list. Wrath, anger, sedition. Exhale. You can stand. I'll give you a second just to refocus. Gather yourself. It's going to be okay. You can stand in the house of Moses, which is the epitome for defining moral issues. You can stand in the house of Moses on the law that God gave Moses and be a moralist, and what you will exhale will be anger, wrath, condemnation, judgmentalism, despair, hopelessness, and we could go on and on. It's all the exhale that's out there. There are people stressed today, worried today, angry today, mad today, and even seditious today because they live on the exhale and people aren't inhaling. Well, you're in the broadcast studio of Victory and Grace this morning. And I'm your host, Pastor Kip Morrow. And we are broadcasting in cooperation with the BIBLE Network, and we are here to give you an inhale, not an exhale. I'm here to give you something to breathe in where you actually go, wait a minute, Pastor Kip, I'm breathing something in, and I actually feel like it might be okay. Yeah, actually, if we breathe in the Bible, you might find out it's not as bad as you think, or a better way is, the answer is so powerful, it might be what you think about, it might put it in such a different perspective, all of a sudden you go, okay, I think I see things I didn't see before, and I'm breathing in something I didn't breathe in before. Paul lived on the exhale as a, let me back up, Saul lived on the exhale that comes from the house of religion. And God said, I got an appointment with that man on the Damascus Road. I am going to change his life, and I'm going to breathe the breath of life in this man. And the man's going to go from somebody who lives on the exhale to somebody who lives on the inhale. Breathe in. And that's the thing that changed the man from a persecutor to a promoter. From somebody who was going around putting other people in bondage to silence everybody and anybody who didn't harmonize with how he saw things on the inside, to a man who went around preaching and persuading people, setting them free through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, just to step back for a moment, I live in the same world you live in. I am aware of everything going on culturally, politically, socially, religiously. I'm aware of it too. I would not suggest that we bury our heads in the sand. That's kind of stupid, isn't it? I would suggest, though, be careful where you do bury your head. And I would suggest to the Church of Jesus Christ in the room this morning, the best place to put your brain, probably right here. This is an oxygen tank. Now, do not be deceived into thinking that a moral voice from Moses' house, I could name two very popular people, names that I'm going to guess everybody in the room would recognize. Be careful thinking that a moral voice from the house of Moses is breathing oxygen from Jesus Christ. Be careful with that. Just because it's moral doesn't mean it's divine oxygen. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have oxygen. I don't care how moral the message is. Moralism, I've said this on Sunday night, Jesus did not come to make us moral. He came to make us righteous. Moralism is an effort to become something. God came and through righteousness made me something. I got to back up for a minute. Let me read this. I came across this. This was not in an article that was religious or biblical or from a Christian perspective. But the statement was so awesome, I wrote it down and I shall read it to you. It is much more powerful to know that you already have something inside of you versus trying to create something that's not there in the first place. Now I'm going to read it again. Let it soak in. It's much more powerful to know that you already have something inside of you. And I'm going to put in parentheses, I'm adding this in, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you understand? You've already got it inside of you. It is much more powerful to understand what you have inside of you versus trying to create something that's not there in the first place. I have tried to articulate this, but I'm convinced inside the Church of Jesus Christ, we have multitudes of people who are striving through personal effort and form of religion to attain something that they already have in Jesus Christ, which is righteousness, acceptance, love, approval, holiness, and the list could go on and on. It is 10,000 times more powerful when you begin to realize the New Testament scriptures unveil what we already have living and breathing inside of us. It's already there. And the journey of discipleship is about the discovery, the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the finished work. Jesus said it's finished. The finished work of Jesus Christ that dwells inside every single believer. I'm not here to make you righteous. I'm not here to tell you what you have to do or don't do to be holy. I'm here to pull back the veil and say, God through Christ put it into you the moment you believed in Jesus as the Son of God. In the house of religion, we work zealously and even tirelessly. The more sincere the person is, the harder they'll work and labor to become. And you can't become anything for God. He gave everything to you freely. Oh my, you don't understand. I just opened up the oxygen bottle. I let the air out. You can't become anything for God. He put it in you. New nature, new creation, righteousness, not more. Moralism is what we create. Righteousness is what God made and put inside of you. Not a zeal for religion. The living, breathing Christ inside of me. Oh my word, I've got the living, breathing Christ inside of me. Church of God this morning, breathe in the oxygen. Be careful what you inhale because there's a world around you. Even the voices that espouse morality from Moses' house, but they don't give you the answer, the hope, and the glory in Jesus Christ. They're breathing out, but you got to breathe in if you want to live. And you can't live on what somebody else is exhaling. You've got to live on what Jesus breathes into you. Filling of divine truth. Saul, house of religion. Saul is espousing the morality of Moses' house. Saul, yet breathing out nothing but threats and slaughter. I've heard very moral voices breathe out little more than disdain, anger, frustration, bitterness, and even sedition. Okay, now I'll go one step farther and I'll stop here because I'm probably going to cross a line. So understand, I understand the importance of this issue. Say, Pastor Kip, I think we need to determine and we need to decide, is God a Republican or a Democrat? Well, you'll probably never hear me settle that issue for you because I don't live on the exhale. Sorry. I don't live on the exhale. I live on the inhale. Now, if you want to breathe in with me for a moment, let me give you some inhale. And by the way, I like vote. I do. I vote in local, state, and federal elections. I vote. I'm an American. I'm proud to be an American. I believe that we need good people in the political system. But is God a Republican or a Democrat? That's exhale. Let me give you inhale. Oh, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let me give you an inhale. The powers that be are ordained by God. And regardless of who's residing in the White House, the Senate, or the State House, regardless who the governor is or isn't, regardless of your political persuasion, be careful about the exhale. It might poison your spirit, but the inhale says it doesn't matter at the end of the day who's sitting in the White House, running the Senate, or the governor in the State House. The powers that be are ordained by God, and he sits supreme over every throne and every ruler because... inhale, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Jesus stood before Pilate and said, my kingdom's not even of this world. Jesus said to Pilate, if my kingdom was of this world, I'd fight for it and you wouldn't have a chance. Pilate stepped back. Something triggered inside of him. He knew he was not the most authoritative man in that room. This is just for fun. I'm just throwing this one out for fun. Okay, I'm up in heaven one day, and I'm sitting at the big banqueting table of God, feasting in the kingdom. I believe we will spiritually, and I believe we will physically. We will feast. You think the food's good here? There are things to taste our taste buds haven't even savored yet. I'm going to sit at the banqueting table. And I'm going to look just down over here to my left, and I'm going to see a big bowl of fresh rolls just been brought over the table. I'm going to nudge the guy next to me, and I'm going to say, can you pass me a roll down there? And he says, sure. Reaches over, grabs the rolls, passes them down. I get the rolls, I take them out, hand them back. He puts the bowl back. I look at him, I go, by the way, my name's Kip. We shake hands, he looks at me and he goes, I'm Pilate. And I'm going to go, I knew it. And I'm going to come find all of you and I'm going to say, I knew it. I don't know how I knew it, just something. I know Pilate participated in the whole process, but when Jesus said, I'm a king, not even of this world, and if I was, I'd take it. And Pilate said, I'm washing my hands of this whole deal. I don't know who you are. And I'm not saying in that moment he became a believer. I don't know that he ever did. I just know that those who are moving towards light in some way, the Bible says they'll get more light. Oh yeah, God's not done with them. And something was stirring inside of that man. Even Pilate's wife came out and told him at one point, leave this man alone. I can't even sleep at night. I'm having nightmares. Now, I don't know if Pilate's going to be in the kingdom or not, but if I shake hands with the guy next to me and he says, I'm Pilate, I'm coming to all. I'm going, the guy by the rolls down there, that's him. I just knew something inside of me said, light was at work, the Holy Spirit was at work. What political party is God? No. Let's go bigger than that. God rules over all parties. Every ruler, Senate, Parliament, communist, capitalist. You want to know who's in charge of this world? King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Go home, go to sleep, rest in peace tonight. God really is in charge. How about this one? In Christ, we're overcomers. Anybody want to say amen to that? How about this one? Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Okay, I'll say it again. Greater is he that is in me, that's Jesus, than he that is in the world. I got something greater in me than the world around me. The answer's never been in the world around me. The answer's never been in government. The answer's never been in Washington, D.C. The answer isn't in the state of our social and moral climate that surrounds us. Paul actually said, I stand in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation. That was Paul. He said, I'm in the middle of a crooked and perverse. This is just perverse. It's perverse all around me. And he said, we're supposed to be harmless without blame. Lights that shine. That's what we are. Changing the world isn't our answer for anything. Jesus came to change people and bring them to a kingdom. Ready to breathe in? Bring them to a kingdom, not even of this world. Let's not forget where we're headed, folks. This isn't our destination. The Bible says we're sojourners and we're pilgrims and we're passing through to a new kingdom. Just breathe that in. Breathe this in today. We are forgiven completely in Jesus Christ. I could spend time going verse after verse. We are forgiven of our transgressions. God is not imputing our sins. That's the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm not here to exhale about the perverse sins of our society. We already know all of that. I'm here to inhale the ministry of reconciliation through the cross of Jesus Christ. Breathe it in, folks. It's okay. I'm here to breathe in the fact that I'm righteous with something that's been gifted to me. I'm not trying to become right with God. I want to discover the ever deeper depths of the righteousness that I already have that makes me right with God. Because it's far more powerful to discover what you already have in you through Christ than it is to try to create it through your effort and your work. That will exhaust you and wear you out. Paul, better yet, Saul. So what was he doing? Just breathing out. Because that's all dead men can really do. I don't care how moral they are. Without Jesus, they're dead men. And the only thing they can do is breathe out. Even if they're standing in the house of Moses with the law that God gave Moses, they're just breathing out. It's in the house of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the truths of the gospel, book of Galatians, we've been studying it on Sunday night. It is the truths of the gospel that the Spirit of God wants us to understand. Because that's where we discover forgiveness. That's where we discover righteousness. That's where we discover the holiness that's been imputed to us. That's where we discover we have been adopted into the family of God with a new birth. I got to close. I'm going to run over on time, but can I just throw in? You know, there's such a thing as an unwanted pregnancy. Happens all the time. I don't know that there's such a thing as an unwanted adoption. Yeah, I really didn't want to, but I went down and I filed the paperwork. I really didn't want to. DHS came out to our house, examined everything. I really didn't want to. Took our checkbook over, wrote it out. Waited a 6-9 month process. Didn't want to. Got a kid I didn't want and wrote out a $20,000 check I didn't want to write out. Yeah, I got an unwanted adoption. No, that doesn't happen. The Bible says we're adopted into the family of God because he wants you. It's a really powerful thought. He adopted you because he wants you. Are you working hard to be wanted by God? Let me take you to the finish line. He wants you. Period. What do I have to do to please him? Oh, he's pleased to give you the keys to the kingdom through Jesus Christ. He wants you. Just breathe that in. Now, I'm not suggesting anybody bury their head in the sand. It's okay to be aware of realities around us. Just don't try to live off the exhale. There's no life in it. So between now and next Sunday, you can inhale through the word. If you don't, hold your breath for the next 6 days and come back next week, and we will inhale again. Not from a YouTube video, not from a news station, not from a political pundit. We're going to breathe through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, through whom we've been made holy, righteous, and blameless, adopted into the family of God because he wants us. I'll say this and I'll be done. Jesus works for the baby boomers. Jesus works for the millennialists. Jesus works for Generation X. And Jesus works for all people. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And he goes to everybody. If you have ears to hear, let him hear. Two sisters, Mary and Martha. One was busy, busy, busy with the world around her, and Jesus Christ was sitting in the middle of the room. But she wasn't living on the inhale, she was living on the exhale. Busy, 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 troubled, cumbered, and stressed out, careful, meaning anxious about many things. When you live on the exhale, you will exhale yourself. Anything but life. Christian people, true believers in Jesus Christ, oftentimes are exhaling. Saul had the form of religion from the house of religion with the words of religion, but his countenance was anything but true religion. Exhaling. Breathing out what? Threats and slaughter, slaughter and threats. Wrath and anger, anger and wrath. Seditious thoughts, forgetting that God's in complete control. Chill out, settle down. Where was Mary? Mary, her sister, was sitting still at the feet of Jesus, breathing divine oxygen. And Jesus said, she's hooked up to the needful thing. She'll be okay. Martha, you need to sit down. Paul, yet breathing out, Jesus came to breathe in. That's our thought for the week. Paul, Saul, breathing out. Jesus showed up to breathe in.